i.e. the plan of others for you. So we have 9.8 trillion in assets backing 278 trillion in derivatives. I think you'll agree with me that this is not a recipe for success. Let's go down some big names and some of the things that they are saying or have said over the past few months. And by the way, some of these people I'm not fans of. I'm not a fan of Ron Paul, for instance. But Ron Paul just released a new video. Quote, prepare for a bear market in bonds, which of course is kind of linked to stocks. Carl Icahn, smart dude. Quote, financial markets are extremely overheated, especially high yield bonds. Max Keiser, another pretty brilliant economic mind, recently told Alex Jones, big radio guy, quote, a great financial collapse is coming. Jeff Berwick, he's a high mucky muck with dollar vigilante. Quote, we're getting very, very close to the next crisis collapse. He, by the way, pointed to the month of September. James Howard Kunstler, another brilliant, many consider him to be fringe economic mind. His prediction, stocks are going to, quote, crater in quarter three as faith in paper and pixels erodes. Pixels being screens and charts. Gerald Celente, another considered to be fringe by the mainstream but great economic mind, quote, the great panic of 2015, unquote. Bill Fleckenstein, again, great economic mind, great bond trader, great investor. Many consider him to be fringe because he doesn't toe the mainstream line. 2015 could be the year of the big accident, unquote. Ray Gano, another of those types of economic powerhouses. Quote, financial collapse probably starting in the third quarter of 2015, unquote. Legendary investor, this guy is a legend in the investment field, Jim Rogers. Quote, we will see some kind of major problems in the world financial markets within the next year or two, unquote. And then, you know, there's guys who kind of do the Bible prophecy thing and all this stuff, and all of them are pointing to this and that and the other in the Bible and the moons, and hey, forget all that. You may be a big believer, I don't mean to affront you, but I'm just going to stick to numbers. I'm going to stick to math today. There's plenty of the other stuff drifting around out there, which seems to coincide. Not going to deal with it. All right, so I've now given you, what, 14 or 15 indicators? Let's do more, shall we? July 15th to September 15th, a, quote, realistic military training exercise known as Jade Helm. You guys have probably heard something about this in the backwater channels of the news. I've mentioned it, but I haven't really reported on it, and I'm still trying to gain information on it. But let me put it this way. It involves 1,000 military personnel. It is training on how to integrate into a civilian population and control it in times of strife or martial law. It's being conducted in a number of states, including Texas, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, California, Mississippi, and Florida. This is real stuff, folks. We're not making this up. Okay? This is not a black helicopter deal. It's ongoing right now. On May 28th, Reuters, pretty good news agency, reported that countries in the European Union would be given a two-month deadline to enact bail-in legislation. In other words, to enact a plan to bail out their big banks when the caca hits the fan. May 28th, by the way, is about 2.5 months ago. Quote, any nation that does not have bail-in legislation in place by that time will face legal action from the European Commission. Gee, is there something they know that they haven't told us? And then there's, you know, a bunch of other things, Elul 29 on the biblical calendar, and the Shemitah year, etc., etc. Once again, not going to count those. On September 15th, folks, that's 2 weeks from now, give or take, 3 weeks from now, the 70th session of the UN General Assembly begins. It's reported that France plans to introduce a resolution to give formal UN Security Council recognition to a Palestinian state. Now, up to now, the United States has always blocked that. You think Obama's going to block it? And what do you think the ramifications of that will be in the Mideast and to Israel? Never mind those who believe that screw with Israel, you screw with God, you face retribution. I'm not going there. But there are many people who believe that. God bless them for believing it. God bless America for living in a place where you can. And you know, maybe there's something to it. On September 25th to September 27th, that's just a month from now, the United Nations, I've talked ad infinitum about Agenda 21 and what a danger it is to your life, your liberty, your freedoms. I mean, in every way, shape, or form. It is truly the grand communist social experiment and edict. Scroll through the archives and listen to my shows in Agenda 21. Listen to one of my interviews, the one that we have posted, with George Noori from Coast to Coast on Agenda 21. If you're not familiar with it, you better get familiar with it, because let me tell you, they're coming for you. This is not black helicopter stuff. This is a 28-section treatise that began in 1993 and has morphed into a document that will give international control over sovereign governments in where their people live and ties into world biosphere sites. Please, listen to the previous shows in Agenda 21. Listen to my interview with George Noori on Coast to Coast. It's right down below here. Just click on it. Or with Republic National Radio, which was another great interview on Agenda 21. Read my book, Land for Love and Money. I have an entire section devoted to Agenda 21, and I go through the various documents. Let me tell you what the preamble begins with, folks. Private property is the root of social injustice. That is the preamble in the preamble of Agenda 21 document. You don't believe it exists? Go to UN.org and type in Agenda 21, and guess what you'll find? You'll find the document. Well, on September 25th to September 27th, they're going to launch kind of an Agenda 21 at the UN, an Agenda 21 on steroids. Yes, this is an agenda for the entire planet. This isn't just about the environment, though. This includes economics, agriculture, education, military, you name it. Every single conceivable aspect of your life. And this is not black helicopter. Google it up. Go to UN.org. Read your enemy's words on their website. All right. What we need, folks, we need to be the generation that's willing to rise up and do great things in the midst of chaos. We're kind of in the midst of chaos, but what I'm trying to tell you today is that there are a number of indicators out there. I've given you, what, 20 or so? maybe 25 with the quotes from these much better economic intellects than I. And you know, you can't defy the law of averages. You can't defy math. I'm going to give you some more indicators. I mean, I'm going to inundate you in this show with indicator after indicator after indicator after indicator, and they are all facts, and they are all math, and they are all irrefutable. Period. None of this is made up. And individually, they are huge red flags. You put them together, and wow, it might explain that ominous feeling you've had in the pit of your stomach. Puerto Rico is going to default. It's going to default, folks, on a $58 million debt payment, which basically was delayed in the first part of August to the end of August, you know, to try and buy some more time and keep things out of the news. Please, go watch the Super Bowl, folks. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Move along, move along. The IMF has begun its torture of Greece. The Greece Prime Minister has stepped down. There is mounting chaos in Greece. There is no way that the Band-Aid, the European Union, and I've talked about this ad infinitum, about Greece as the canary in the coal mine. There's no way the Band-Aid that the European Union has put together with Greece is going to last. It simply won't friggin' work. Because the Greek people will not accept it. Because they are used to the handouts. They are several steps beyond where Obama has taken us here. They are firmly ensconced in Rule 8 and Rule 7 of Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Italy is going to be the next one, folks. It's going to be a much larger problem because Greece, which is the smallest economy, a tiny economy in the realm of the world, the smallest economy in the European Union, you can see what a wreck it caused. Italy, however, Italy is a big economy in the European Union. And in the top 20 in the world. Now, what do you think the ripples are going to be when Italy goes down the same path as Greece? And then, of course, you have Spain and Portugal. The pigs countries, Portugal, Italy, Spain, and Greece. Talked about them for 4 years now. The chickens coming home to roost. I don't know if you know this, but there's been no coverage. The Canadian economy, which was really one of the bellwethers, one of the sterling economies of the last 4 or 5 years, has now entered a new recession. That wasn't supposed to happen. The price of oil, yes, I know everybody's happy it's low gas prices at the pump, but there's other ramifications. I've talked about it in other shows. Not the least of which is that you have all your independent oil folks here in the States going bankrupt. And all the debt that they took out to drill the wells to give you energy independence that Obama has undermined and that Saudi Arabia has purposely torpedoed by keeping its production up and therefore prices low, knowing what the economic effect would be on the little oil producers over here. Oil plummeted 20% in the month of July, and by the way, it's hit new lows in the last week. It's under $40 a barrel. Yes, you're going to see prices going down at the pump, and the mainstream media is going to say, oh, isn't this great, and oh, we have so much more money to spend. They're not going to talk about money velocity, of course. We have so much more money to spend and blah-de-da-de-da, and the politicians are going to say that they're wonderful and you should vote for them. This is really bad. It's gutting an entire sector. The most promising, the most fast-growing and the most lucrative sector of the American economy. It's undermining American energy independence, and it is strengthening our enemies, and it is weakening the petrodollar, which I'm going to talk about here in just a few minutes in this show, because this is where it's all leading. The dollar and its status as the reserve currency of the world. Commodities, as you may know, maybe some of you invest in silver or gold or, you know, wheat or soybeans or whatever you invest in, copper, and maybe some of you don't. But commodities have hit rock bottom. By the way, you talk about another indicator. Do you know when commodities last hit rock bottom? Right before the 2008 crash. You know when they hit rock bottom before that? Right before the 2000 dot-com bubble. You know when they hit rock bottom before that? 1974, before the big 70s recession. And you know when they hit rock bottom before that? 1929. Gee. Is there some signs? Are there some lines converging in the universe here? What do you think? The coal industry, this is a new ingredient, is imploding. You have two huge producers, one of them right here in Wyoming, ANR. That's its stock call sign. Okay? I mean, its official name, by the way, is Alpha Natural Resources. They may be filing bankruptcy. Another one, Walter Energy, already filed bankruptcy. Coal still produces 40 to 60% of all our power needs, folks. And we're losing a huge opportunity to export that coal to other countries and bring more money into this one. Go back to Saul Alinsky's rules. You don't want your country to be profitable if you want to radically transform it. You don't want your people to be comfortably wealthy, or shall we say, comfortably situated, if you want to control them. You think this is about the environment? No. This is not about the environment. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about you. They care about them. They care about their ideology. Exxon. Now, Exxon's kind of a big outfit, don't you think? Exxon announced their worst earnings for a single quarter since the year 2009. Earnings were down 51%. Chevron, another pretty big outfit. I mean, like, huge. In the second quarter of the year, which they just reported, their earnings were down 90%. That's 90%. I mean, that's almost unheard of. You know what's happening in China. We talked about the last few shows. Yet another indicator. Their Shanghai Composite Index, kind of their New York Stock Exchange, if you will, is now down 13.4% in the last month or two. They devalued the yuan, which all the mainstream commentators say is really good for you because it's going to save you money at the stores when you go to Wally World. It's not good at all because it's going to help them replace the dollar as reserve currency of the world, folks, which ties into what we're going to finalize this show with, which has to do with Iran and what's really going on with the Iranian nuclear deal. And I don't mean about nuclear arms, because that's only part of the story. The rest of the story, nobody is telling you, and you need to know. So, may I suggest, if I may, that you go down to the dollar store or to Wally World with your new lower prices from China. And actually, I'm being facetious. Buy everything American you can. But I suggest you go down to the stores in the next 2 or 3 weeks and you stock up on batteries and you stock up on water supplies and listen to my shows. Please go back through the archives. There's a number of them. and you look around your house and decide what else you need, and you pack your to-go bags if you live in the suburbs or the city. So literally you can pick them up, have everything you need, and be out the door without wasting a valuable several hours trying to put it together. And you stock up on as much provisions and food, whether you buy emergency food from some emergency company. Take a look at our family safety columns. I don't recommend any of them because I haven't used them. I'm fortunate enough to live in a place where, shall we say, we're under control. But many of you who live in the suburbs of the city are not. I have one friend who lives in Denver. Great gal. Been friends with her for many, many, many years. And I always tease her. Because in a refrigerator is like one stick of a carrot and maybe like one small container of milk. I'm not exaggerating. The rest of the freezer and the refrigerator are bare because she goes down to the supermarket every night and buys her dinner. And I keep telling her, what are you going to do when the supermarket's closed or when there's nothing on the shelves? Or when you can't get the gas to get to the supermarket. Don't find yourselves in that position. Whatever food, extra food you buy now, you can work it into your diet if everything is hunky-dory and replace it later. You're going to find a use for those batteries. You can always use a spare flashlight. Having an extra couple boxes of ammo is not a bad thing because it's going to be twice as expensive next year. You might as well buy it this year. I mean, use your heads. You cannot lose by being prepared. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that you will save money buying the stuff now as opposed to a year from now, if you can buy the stuff a year from now. Listen to those shows. Google up stuff. Do whatever you got to do. Make a plan with your family. Where are you going to meet? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How are you going to stay in touch? Let's say you don't have a cell phone. Maybe they're not working. Maybe there was a solar flare. Maybe there was an EMP. Maybe there was a hack of Verizon. Who knows? Have a plan. It could save your life. And on the financial side, I hope you have some cash. And I don't mean in the bank. You can talk to your own advisors about whether you should have other stuff. Some people like gold, and some people like silver, and, you know, other people like this or that or the other. Some people like collectibles, like art. I mean, whatever it is, whatever store of value which is not paper money. Although some paper money on hand might not be a bad idea given the fact that, let's see, we've seen three countries in the past year and a half literally take people's bank accounts. I want you to think about this. And take 30% out of the bank account and plug it into capital of the bank to keep the bank solvent by government command. We've seen just 3 months ago in Greece withdrawals limited to 60 euros per day per person. 60 euros, by the way, is about 40 bucks, folks. How'd you like to wait an hour or 2 hours at an ATM every single day to get 40 bucks? This is make-believe. This is happening and has happened. You know, the mainstream media hasn't talked about what's going on in South America. It's like South America doesn't exist other than the occasional story on Venezuela. And I talked about Venezuela, I think, 2 shows ago. In fact, one of our listeners wrote a great, go to the website or go to our Facebook page. And by the way, go to our Facebook page and like us, will you? Get that out to your friends. Be our fans. www.facebook.com on the right side radio / on the right side radio. Go to the website on the which you're on right now. Or if you're an AM radio station listener, go to the website on the right side radio.com. Read our listeners' comments. This was a fabulous comment by a reader several weeks ago on some stuff I had never heard about what's going on in Venezuela, and she knows she's from there. That's her neck of the woods. You women, find out what's happening in Venezuela if you need to find a tampon. You'll be shocked. I was shocked. All right. The other thing I'm going to recommend to you financially, and remember, I'm not giving you financial advice. You guys have brains. You figure this out and get it done. If you are partners with somebody and you can't rely on them, replace them. Get rid of them. Don't be partners with somebody that you can't rely on in bad times. Check your bank out. Many of the small community and regional banks have been weakened by Dodd-Frank, which, of course, was the design of Dodd-Frank, because basically they paid off, manipulated, and controlled Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, the two crooks, morons, and progressives who single-handedly almost created the mortgage catastrophe of 2008. Because, you know, everybody deserves a house. Which is why you had so many subprime mortgages, was those two crooks. And then they wrote the Dodd-Frank Financial Regulatory Reform Act, which, by the way, is not even fully implemented yet and has driven 40% of the community banks in the country out of business. Would you rather deal with somebody that you're on a first-name basis with downtown, in your small town, or wherever you live? Or would you rather go down to Chase Manhattan or J.P. Morgan and deal with somebody who you've never seen before and will probably never see again because they're either going to be fired or transited? And by the way, if you have money in a big national bank like J.P. Morgan or Chase or Citi, get it out. These are the first outfits that are going to bite the dust, folks. These are the outfits with the $278 trillion in derivatives. And I want you to understand that under law, you don't have any rights whatsoever in your accounts. You know what your accounts are under the law? They're a debt of the bank to you. There's no money in your account. Your bank balance is paper. The money you put in there is paper. There's no gold bars sitting in the vault back in your deposit. There's no gold bars sitting in the vault back in the FDIC's guarantee of your deposit. And most economists agree that the FDIC, let's say you're very fortunate, you have a lot of money, and you got $250,000, the limit of the FDIC insurance for an account. You have five banks, and each bank you have $250,000. Guess what? They're going to tie your Social Security number to your deposits, and you're only, quote-unquote, insured, if so, for one of those. I suggest you check out You can call the Comptroller of the Treasury. You can Google it up. The FDIC, the OCC. I don't have time in the show. We're running out of time, unfortunately. I don't have time in the show to tell you. Check out the solidity of your bank. If you're in a smaller community bank, which I think is where you want to be, and they're great and they're strong and they're solvent, terrific. Stay there. If they're having problems, they're under regulatory watch, they're under regulatory control, they're under regulatory letter of agreement or consent, they're under cease and desist, there's all sorts of different stuff, as you'll find as you Google this up. Get your money the hell out of there. And put it with a bank that's not. This is really important. And if you have money in those big national banks, no matter what, get it out. Okay. I'm sure you can all come up with some financial safety nets of your own, based on your own family situation, based on what you want to accomplish, based on what your living needs are. But may I suggest that you take some steps immediately in the realm of financial safety, just as I hope you have already taken steps in terms of physical safety. You know, food, water, shelter, travel, protection, energy. And once again, if I'm totally wrong, and I sure as hell hope I am, and I hope all these other guys are, and I hope we continue la-di-da into the future, then you have lost nothing by taking these steps. Zero. You cannot lose. But boy, you can sure gain a bunch. Which brings me to the last part of this show, and I'm going to have to rush through it, unfortunately, because I am, my producer's frantic. I'm like over time here, but I'm not going to end until I'm done. And some of you stations, you're just going to carry me over for a few minutes, please. Thank you. Okay. I want you to understand something. The petrodollar, the fact that oil, energy, the staple of the world, is paid for primarily in dollars, or has been, is the basis of the dollar being the reserve currency. And I've talked about this in other shows, but because we have the reserve currency, we're the only country in the world that can print money to pay its debts. And that's fine while the fun show's going, but you know, when the music stops and you got to find a chair to sit down in, and there's only five chairs and there's six dancers, you got a problem. And do you know what the key to the petrodollar was? After Bretton Woods, which was World War II, the dollar emerged as the obviously strongest currency in the world. And in the 1970s, with Nixon in the White House, France came to the United States and said, hey, we want our gold. And Nixon said, no, we aren't going to give you the gold. And he took us off the gold standard. I mean, I'm simplifying this, but this is really what happened. And we became a paper-based currency, which, by the way, virtually every other country in the world is, other than China, who's rumored to perhaps have enough gold to back the yuan, which they want to be the reserve currency of the world. And they're buying gold like crazy. So is Russia. So, we could not do this unless the world's largest oil producer at the time, Saudi Arabia, went along with the plan. And this was an idea of Henry Kissinger. I believe it was 1973. He went to Saudi Arabia and he said, tell you what we're going to do. America's might and power and military will protect you guys and protect all your friends in OPEC. And in return, you will only sell your oil, you will only trade your oil in the United States dollar. And that's where the term petrodollars came from, and that is what established the United States dollar as the reserve currency of the world, folks. Once again, I'm simplifying, but I think you get the picture. Now, enter Obama. Enter Iran-born Valerie Jarrett. I don't have time to repeat what I've said about those two and their minions and their Muslim sympathies and their purposeful support of Iran against their own country, America, and Israel. I think you get that. Here's what you don't know. Iran, the Persians, have always been bitter enemies of the Arabs, the Saudis, and most of OPEC. The United States doing this deal with Iran giving them $100 to $150 billion to run amok with, allowing them to buy arms from Russia, and basically paving the way for them to a nuclear bomb, although remember, they're going to inspect themselves, has broken this covenant with Saudi Arabia, who is now selling more oil to China, much of it in yuan, not dollars, than to the United States. And that's just over the last year or so. So you can see that the erosion of the dollar and the petrodollar as a reserve currency of the world is accelerating exponentially due to the acts and lack of acts of Obama and crew with Iran against Saudi Arabia and the Arab members of OPEC. And at the same time, of course, Obama undermines purposefully the American oil industry, which is the one thing that might be able to step into the gap. Remember Saul Alinsky's rules. I bring this to your attention because, number one, it's fascinating. Number two, it's probably part of history and economies you don't know, but also as the final indicator of today's show. Get prepared. You can't lose. You can only win. And in the end, folks, we will win. But between then and now, there could be a bumpy ride. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a happy Saturday, and get on it. Stand up. Get her done.